Radio Influence. The future is now.
A championship. Introducing the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Good day, everybody. Jeff Crushell here. This is Crush Performance, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Hey, if you have questions, comments, smart remarks, do get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. If you are on Twitter, at Jeff Crush is our Twitter handle, and on Facebook, you can go to Crush Performance, but we also have a very cool group called the Talent Grid, where you can sign up, we'll let you in, and we're just sharing information on performance every single week. If you have questions there, and sharing information is, you know, a big part of that group. We have experts from around the world in all sorts of areas, from the mental side to high performance nutrition to sports science. It's a great, great group. We're having a lot of fun there. Today, a really big show again, as we, as you know, dedicate one show a month to our war on sugar. And today will be that show. We've got a big lineup, and just want to go through some of the emails and texts we had from the last couple of weeks. A few weeks ago, we kicked off our new year war on sugar with Dr. Andwee Sallon. We're going to revisit a little bit of that conversation today, as I'm still getting emails and Twitter messages and comments on Facebook about our conversation on a calorie is not a calorie. A calorie is not a calorie. There's a new way of thinking. We're going to revisit that today, but that was a fantastic conversation. Last week, we had on Donald Hooton Jr. I want to thank Don for coming on again. He's the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation. And that foundation was put together because Taylor, who is Don's younger brother at the age of 17, committed suicide due to depression from his withdrawal from a bout with steroids. And some of the statistics that came out of that show last week were alarming, and I want to thank everybody for their support on that show and spreading the good word. Our Twitter went off the handle on this. The sharing of information was great, and of course, the downloads of the podcast are off the charts. Listen, the average age of the first use, this is based on the most recent data on high school and school-aged athletes, the average first-time use for PEDs and appearance-altering drugs is 15 years of age. But the interesting thing is 62.5% of the users right now, high school and school age users, are not athletes. They're using to alter their appearance, body image. We know the pressure in today's kids today to look good. They're going to the dark side, and it's even scarier than the conversation with our athletes, I believe, because 57% say they would take a powder if it guaranteed reaching their goals, even if it might shorten their lives. That's the mindset that's out there. So, you know, conversations like we had last week with Don, I think are really important, especially when we consider that 85% of high school athletes who were surveyed have never had a parent, teacher, or coach talk to them about the dangers of PED use. So very, very important. And that segues very nicely into today's conversation, because today we are going to look at the war on sugar and some of the alarming statistics that are coming out of Canadian health right now. And, you know, if we look at the trends in obesity and diabetes, Alzheimer's, it's fairly consistent around the globe. And if that is the truth, these numbers that are coming out of Canada should put the fear into everyone on the globe. Later in the show, we are going to talk about an inspirational story about one of our coworkers here at TSN, our engineer, Trevor Stewart, has decided to take control of his life and his weight, and we're going to talk to him about his story because he's achieved something truly spectacular. And for everybody who has problems losing weight, keeping it off, this is a real life story of somebody who's really taking it on. And it's a fantastic story, and the research that he did and how he went about getting his life back in control is truly inspirational. It's an inspiration for me when I walk in here and see him now. It makes me really happy. And conversations like this can, I think, help a lot of people. And later in the show, I want to talk with Connor about the NFL Combine, because boy, oh boy, there are some special things going on there. And again, that goes back to a conversation, you know, with our drugs in sports and our nutrition. We know in our priorities for performance, rest and recovery is number one priority above everything else. Sleep inside of there rules the roost, but nutrition is so important. Here's a scary stat that came out of our last week's conversation with Don Hooten about supplements. 25% of over-the-shelf supplements that we would buy in our regular store, health food store right down the street, 25% are either spiked or contaminated with ingredients that are not on the label that would cause you to test positive on a drug test. That is a scary number. So the supplement world, and again, the NFL is one of the premier leagues, you know, cracking down on supplement use, as is Major League Baseball, who now has, frankly, the most stringent and strict doping program in all of professional sport. A big turnaround there. But that all comes back to the importance of nutrition and supplementation. Can you do it without supplements? Well, supplements can be a big, big part of your program, but it's got to be done right. When it comes to the weight loss industry, well, vitamins and weight loss industry constitute about $60 billion annually in terms of revenue, and yet we're not losing any weight. Diabetes is on the rise. Alzheimer's is on the rise. So what is going on? Look, recent research doesn't look good, and sugar by itself is a major culprit. High sugar, you know, it sounds like common sense, reduce the sugar, but here's the problem. I don't think we realize the impact sugar is having on our overall health. It has been directly linked with certain types of cancers, without question. It has been linked with degenerative brain disease. It's been linked with obesity. Of course, diabetes is on the rise, and we're seeing childhood diabetes at ages we've never seen before in human history. And that is simply because of the sugar that's available in our diet. And for athletes, we're seeing, for our guys and for athletes around the globe, we're seeing reduced performance, reduced recovery. And there's much more, of course. But the cost of this on our healthcare, we're going to talk about it here later in the show, is staggering. Tens of billions of dollars just in Canada alone, based on the new numbers. And again, if these trends are true to the global trends, we all have a very big reason to be scared. Let's just set the stage again. Let's just get some perspective. Back in 1822, where some of the earliest data on sugar consumption that was available was recorded, 1822, the average adult in North America ate around, you know, the same amount of sugar found in a soft drink every 5 days. So if you were to have a soft drink, the amount of sugar in a soft drink today, in 1822, it would take you about 5 days to eat that much sugar on average. Well, today, we consume that much sugar every 7 hours. In 1822, the average adult consumed about 6.3 pounds of sugar per year. Today, we're upwards, depending on the study you look at, between 107 and 150 pounds per person per year. But here's the interesting thing. If we look at the sugar industry and the data they're putting out, they're saying that sugar consumption has been on the decline for the last 20 years, which is totally opposite to some of the data we're getting from the health boards and the institutes who are responsible for health, like the Diabetes Association, Cancers Association, and even NIH and some of the major educational institutes like Harvard and Yale. Could it be that sugar is on the decline, but artificial sweeteners are on the rise, or sugar substitutes are on the rise? Think about it. There are about 150 different ways to say sugar-free. Proceed with caution, everybody. I'm telling you right now, if you go out and see a sugar-free, and good for you, we're looking for sugar-free, take a look at the ingredient panel. Because if the first ingredients are some sugar substitute, we're not doing any good. As a matter of fact, some of those substitutes are even more harmful to our health than sugar. And when it comes to the conversation of a calorie is not a calorie, well, again, in our first war on sugar in 2017, we had Dr. Andreas Allen on, who's the chief biomedical officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. They are the leading group when it comes to the glycemic index and how our food how our bodies respond to the food we eat. And we got into a conversation, and frankly, is quite alarming. But we got into the conversation of a calorie. A calorie is not a calorie. And here's what we had to say back in January. I want to replay this part of that conversation. Here it is. Take a listen.
How about we start this year's conversation with a look back on what we've learned? Because some of the research that's come out over the last few years, our understanding is growing, but some of the research that's come out over the last few years has been incredibly alarming. Look, Doc, we know about obesity. We know about the trends in childhood obesity. We know about diets. Nothing seems to be working. But when we start hearing about the relationship between sugar and high glycemic diets to certain forms of cancer and now degenerative brain diseases, holy smokes, this goes way, way deeper than I think we first imagined.
Yeah, and it's way scarier. When I started, you know, Glycemic Research Institute in 1983, it was just like, ooh, look at this. Hey, this determines how food's going to act in the human body. This is interesting. And then we fast forward to 2017, and all of the new clinical data out there, massive data by Harvard, by Yale, by Princeton, by NIH, massive amounts of money being spent to go, hey, wait a minute. We were wrong. Obesity isn't even caused by a lack of willpower, and all calories are not created equal. So now the paradigm is, why are we even talking about calories? Calories are close to irrelevant.
Thinking a calorie is a calorie, that's an incredibly antiquated way of thinking. It's the old way of thinking, isn't it, Doc?
Oh, it's so old. It's not even funny. And the thing is, you know, how do we bring this a new paradigm of understanding how the human body, I mean, works? Every day we understand more about the human body, right?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing for researchers like myself is, okay, we have this scathing new research that's been defined and redefined and validated and revalidated by different universities, and we all come up with the same conclusions. Our clinical research facility usually is spearheading the clinical research, but other universities picked it up. They do millions of dollars worth of research, and they go, whoa, it's worse than we thought. So antiquated is like T-Rex, okay? We can say calories equal T-Rex thinking. So the old way of thinking is that the energy content of foods, and the way we define that is called calories. It was makes them fattening, right? Okay, that's, oh, calories, calories, calories. Let's see. Let's look on the box and see how many calories. Irrelevant now. And how do you get that across to the American public or globally, okay, to say, hey, guess what? We got to change all the labels now on all food, on all fast food, all restaurant food, all grocery store food, because the new way of thinking and understanding is it is not the energy content of food, which is calories, that makes them fattening. Now, right there, that sentence is crazy. From the time that man has been on this earth until like the last couple of years, it's been calories, right?
Right.
The game is calories. And now we have to realize it's not the energy content of food, which is calories. It's the effect that foods and beverages have on the brain and the hormones that regulate fat accumulation. That's the game. So now, wait a minute. The whole game just changed, and you know, we know the pathology. The conventional explanation, let's just say the old way, is energy imbalance. Oh, you take in too many calories and you get fat, right? And you get diabetes.
Right.
Okay? That's the old paradigm. The new paradigm is okay, wait a minute. We know that the biggest enemy in health today, based on what we eat and what we do, what we put in our mouth, is insulin. Insulin is now called the death hormone by pharmaceutical companies, because the reason they named it that is giving people insulin to offset diabetes has become a major problem. What happens? They gain weight,
right?
And insulin reduces your lifespan. So let's see. You get diabetes, you got to go on insulin, but insulin reduces your lifespan, exogenous insulin, taking insulin injections or patches. And so wait a minute, this whole thing is wacky. So really, the way that it goes is anything you eat that raises your blood glucose levels, which is high glycemic, stimulates insulin. That insulin prompts the fat cells to accumulate more fat and make more fat. The pancreas then secretes insulin to bring the glucose down. And then finally, your pancreas goes, hey, guess what, buddy boy? I ain't playing this game no more. I don't like what you're doing. We're not playing that, so I'm just going to go wacky, right?
Right.
And that's what type 2 diabetes is. Type 2 diabetes is when your body gets so pissed at you, it goes, okay, buddy boy, that's it. I've had it. You be fat. You be diabetic. You're on your own. It's really the pancreas just getting seriously pissed.
And there you go. There's the no BS version of a calorie is not a calorie. And frankly, we've got to start spreading this word because we are losing this battle based on some of these numbers. Coming up after the break, we're going to visit with our good friend and workmate at the station here, Trevor Stewart, who is the manager of Broadcast Engineering. He made a decision at 320 pounds to get back his life. It's a fantastic, inspirational story. We're going to talk to him about how he did it and what his inspiration was. Later in the show, I'm going to share some alarming statistics coming out of Canada when we look at sugar and how it's impacting our health right now and what the grim, grim future looks like. And Connor and I are going to talk about the NFL Combine. So stick around, more Crush Performance right after this.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. The Crush War on Sugar continues. If you have questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us, crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Today, we are looking at the impact of sugar on our health and our wellness. Coming up later in the show, we're going to look at some scary, scary stats coming out of Canada that are based around the consumption of sugary drinks. And now, if this is a trend that's going to reflect globally, we have all got to be scared about this. Stay tuned for that. But we know when you're in the midst of trying to control your weight, when it's gotten away from you, when you're not healthy, when you're overweight, when you're just in a bad place, it can be very, very difficult to imagine what it's like to get healthy again. Or, you know, we have friends and people that we know who've never been healthy. They don't know what it feels like. But I want you to know that it's possible. And we're joined now by our good friend, Trevor Stewart, who's the broadcasting engineer here at TSN 1260. Because sitting around one day at 320 pounds, he made a decision. Trev, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, listen, man, I have been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. I've been watching you morph and change yourself over the last year. And, man, I'm telling you what, you give me goosebumps. You started your quest to get control of your weight, and I guess in the big picture, your life as well. You started at 320 pounds with the goal of getting down to 225. You've dropped that 95 pounds. Hey, Trev, can I ask you this?
Yep.
What was your inspiration to make these massive changes in your life?
Basically, it was all internal, you know, just the way I was feeling. I'd always been bigger, you know, I've always been quite large, and was sitting around watching TV one day and just kind of decided all of a sudden that, you know, if I start working on this now, maybe by summer or by whenever, I could be healthier.
Isn't it interesting, Trev? We have been doing the Crush War on Sugar for over a year. We've been dedicating one show each month to the conversation about sugar, diet, weight loss, weight control, and the impact it's had on our health. And, you know, during that time, we've had many emails and texts about people who've just battled. And, you know people and I know people. Everybody knows somebody who's battled with the weight and the roller coaster going up and down and how difficult it can be. But I'm telling you what, we've all here at the station watched you just decide to do something and do it, and quite dramatically, but in a good way. Let me ask you this. What was your mindset when you made that decision one day watching TV? Did you have a plan of how you were going to do it, or did you start investigating, or what did you do once you decided that you're going to put an end to it?
Well, growing up, I had a doctor, and every time that you would go to her and say, you know, I'm overweight, why? She always gave the same answer, and it was always, you need to eat less and do more. That's the very simple thing, you know, because obviously when you're going to the doctor, you're looking for the magic pill.
Right.
And she just kept saying, eat less, do more. And of course, as a kid, it never sinks in. So I eventually I finally decided, well, why don't I start looking into how to do that? You know, how do I determine what I should eat less of? And started doing the research from there.
Interesting. We're talking with Trevor Stewart, the broadcast engineer here at TSN Edmonton. Trev, you started or made your decision. You were 320 pounds, correct?
Yes.
Sitting on the couch, making the decision that you're going to make a drastic change. You have since then. When was that? When did that decision take place?
It was back in August.
August.
Near the end of August.
Yeah. So you're I mean, this is a pretty good time frame. You're 95 pounds lighter right now. Let me ask you this. Right now, talking on the phone, how do you feel?
Oh, I feel great. My energy levels are higher than I've ever been. I feel stronger overall, like physically. And I feel far more agile than I used to.
No kidding. And how about things like sleep? Sleep, and how about things like food cravings? How about like, you know, you said you have more energy over the course of the day. What other changes have you noticed? Can you remember what it was like when you were 320 plus?
Oh, absolutely, because it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
I have sleep apnea, so that means you stop breathing when you're asleep, and I have a sleep apnea mask that I wear. And before, if I would forget a night or something, the next day was done. There was no way I was going to function. Now, I could forget it, and I'm a little tired, but I have enough energy that it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. Hey, Trev, don't you find it's a vicious cycle, you know? And, you know, we've all known somebody who's struggled with their weight, and body image is such, there's so much pressure right now, especially on the young people to, you know, look good and be healthy. You know, it's difficult in today's day and age with the readily available food, the amount of sugar in our diet. It's a tough battle right now to you know, really take control and decide how you're going to do it. So let's set this up. You decided to lose weight. You went back to what your doctor said, eat less, do more. What was your first move? Like, what was the first thing you did when you took on the quest?
Started Googling what had sugar.
Aha, the war on sugar. I love it. Hey, so what was alarming? Was there anything alarming there to you?
Not so much. I mean, in that I knew pretty much everything was full of sugar. I knew that already. I just didn't know to what degree. Also, eating less was always in my mind, just reduce your calories. But the problem with just reducing your calories and not looking at what calories you're reducing it with is that you do end up consuming tons of sugar and other fillers that you just don't need. And they would make me feel tired and weak and not have the energy to exercise, for example.
Right. So, hey, let's talk about that. What were some of the things there you noticed? Like, what were the things that you noticed you needed to avoid, and what did you turn to?
Well, right away, the few things that were obvious were Pepsi and any soft drink, any pops, chocolate bars, chips, the easy ones.
Yeah.
You knew to eliminate those. So then you start researching meals and meal prep. And of course, my wife does most of the cooking, if not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we start looking into simple things like breakfast. Well, there's pretty much no cereal out there without sugar in it of some sort or some sort of sweetener in it. Commercial cereals or whatnot. So, and yogurts. Yogurt was a big one. I had no idea how much sugar was in just a regular branded yogurt.
Yeah, right? I get it.
And, I mean, you can always look, once you start reading up how to read the labels, you learn what all the tricky words are, you know, the fructose and the, there's other words there for
maltodextrins, high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah,
all of those.
Exactly.
There's 150 ways to say sugar-free on a label, and yet it's laced with sweeteners and things that act like sugar. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I decided I wasn't going to just lose weight. I was going to get healthier overall. So that meant researching, you know, I don't want the extra chemicals. So none of the aspartame, none of the sucralose and whatever the other sweeteners are.
Yeah.
I wanted it all gone. And that meant reading every single label in depth.
And reading the label is really important. We're talking with Trevor Stewart, our workmate here at TSN 1260, the broadcast engineer. He has gone from 320 pounds to 225 stealthy, healthy pounds since August. Trevor, it's a massive feat, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's inspirational for everybody here in the building, but I think probably for everybody you know. And I wanted to get you on the show to share the story, because so many people struggle. Listen, we talk about the weight yo-yo, people who lose weight and they gain it right back. What is your plan to keep this weight off now? Because you've done it, man. You're in a really good, healthy place. And now it's going to be sort of a dance to stay there, right? Or how's that going?
Yeah, no, I plan to keep going a little more probably based on self-image. What I see when I look in the mirror and everything. And I still see some chubby areas that I want to fix. So I am planning to keep going, but I'm not going to be as strict as I was, meaning I will allow myself more carbs. But I'm still going to be watching what the foods are. And I basically am sticking for whole foods. You can't eat stuff that's processed. Unfortunately, it's just, it's too difficult to lose weight or maintain your weight if you're eating all the pre-made stuff.
Right.
So you have to go for the natural stuff, eating vegetables, raw vegetables, and you can cook the vegetables even. But rather than the pre-packaged things that are full of preservatives and sweeteners.
So, Trev, that's a massive shift as well, and that'll be tough for a lot of people because we're in a fast food, you know, really prepped sort of a society right now. How much is it more work than you thought it was going to be, or how is that going in terms of just organizing your eating plan?
Getting busy, when you're busy, it is very difficult. That's the most difficult thing I find. Like this week, I'm trying to go through a move, and it's very difficult to eat your, you know, to prearrange your meals and to make sure you have the right meals ahead of time. So that means you have to eat out some. You've got to try and make those proper decisions when you're eating out. And it's difficult. I mean, you look at the fast food places, and even though you could get just a grilled chicken wrap or something like that from any of them, it doesn't mean that it's just grilled chicken. There's so many other things added in there. Only thing I can do that I find helps is go to the grocery stores and look for the sections there where they've got the kind of pre-made stuff, you know, the salads and whatnot, and try to fill up on the healthier stuff that you can kind of see on the label. It's very clearly identified what's in it.
Yeah, planning ahead is so important. Do you find yourself like cooking for the week or shopping for the week now, or a little more regularly?
The shopping for the week, myself and my wife have been doing a lot more. Vegetables, fruits, even the meat and other foods, you have to prep way in advance as far as purchasing them goes. Cooking them, we haven't been doing a whole lot outside of the, you know, weekly prep. It's just been making sure you've got the ingredients for the week.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking with Trevor Stewart, our good friend and workmate here at TSN 1260. Trevor has lost 95 pounds since August, going from 320 down to 225. The quest continues. Trev, let me ask you this. What was your exercise regime prior to making the decision, and what kind of exercise have you added into the program as you've lost your weight?
Prior to, I did nothing.
Right.
Basically, I worked, and then I went home, and I sat. You know, there was no exercise. Now, I do have three kids, so there was a lot of running around with that.
Yeah.
But no exercise. Nothing for me to be healthy at all. Once I started with cardio, just a treadmill, and I couldn't do more than 15 minutes. So I did 15 minutes. Then I found I could do a little more, so I went up to 20 minutes. Then I found I could do a little more, and I kept going. Got to around 60 minutes of cardio and decided, you know, I want something more than just cardio. And I started weight training. And that's where I'm at now, is sticking with weight training.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's often been said that weight training is the fountain of youth. So many good things come out of it as we age, but even for our youth, for our bones, certainly for balancing hormones and weight loss as well. So that's fantastic. Now, we know that exercise is not a really good way to go about weight loss because the calorie deficit just isn't that significant. But you balance a good exercise program to stay healthy while you're battling with your weight through your diet, and some really, really good things can happen. Trev, listen, when we look at what you're doing right now, now that you're sort of down to where you want to be, a few pounds to go maybe, What's your daily strategy now? Do you have a method or some recommendations for people who are maybe going to now partake on a weight loss program, or people who have lost the weight and are trying to keep it off now?
Well, I am typically a very ritual-based person, meaning I will eat the same things over and over at the same meal times. And I like doing that. It helps me know what I'm eating, helps me monitor it. I also log what I eat using an online app.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, that's actually one of the bigger keys, and because it is the nutrition more than the exercise. The exercise is just to make sure you don't start losing muscle and feeling weak. But the nutrition, I have to track it, because it is so easy to lose sight of what you're eating and just start consuming too many calories again, even with all the research I've done. You know, you have to keep track of it. I don't find I have to be as strict with it now,
right,
because I've gotten better with it. But if I find I had a week where I didn't quite lose the 2 pounds I was expecting, I only lost like a half a pound, that tells me, okay, I need to focus more on my diary, my food diary.
Yeah, the diary, log it. We say it to all of our athletes for performance, and we know in the really effective weight loss programs, logging food holds you accountable. Hey, Trev, you mentioned a couple of really interesting things there, cutting calories. When you started your diet, were you conscious about cutting calories and being careful about how much you cut out? Because we know that if you cut calories too low, it can almost be dangerous. And it's proven time and time again that if you try to lose weight by simply cutting calories, you lose tons of muscle mass. So what you said about trying to maintain your muscle is all important as well.
Yeah, and I was trying to be very careful. I mean, of course, it was trial and error at first. There were days where I thought, oh, I'll just skip meals to save calories. But, and you know, I've tried in the past where you skip meals and maybe that lets you have your extra Pepsi that day or your extra chocolate bar, whatever it is that you're craving. But it doesn't work. You know, eventually you either just give in and eat more or you just fall through.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Hey, let me ask you this as well. You mentioned about, you know, not meeting your 2 pound weight loss goals for the week. How did you set up those goals? Did you had, of course, the big idea of losing 95 pounds, but it sounds like you broke that down into sort of shorter term, really tangible goals that you could tackle, you know, step by step.
Yeah, I started off trying to just aim for 2 pounds a week, and I actually used an application online to help, you know, create those goals, and same thing for the food logging and all that. And you know, I would aim for 2 pounds, and then if I could achieve more, because there were weeks I was getting 5 pounds, and it would all depend on how much exercise I did with the dieting. So, and also it would depend on how I dieted. So there were so many things that would change it. And after a while, I found a way that worked, and I would consider only losing 1 pound to be more of like what people would call a plateau, because I haven't hit a point where I wasn't losing weight yet.
Right. Still, even now.
Even now. Like even this week, I've still lost about half a pound this week.
So you're at 225 right now or thereabouts, correct?
Yep.
Hey, where do you think the end point is, or where do you think that healthy balance is? Because, you know, you don't want to go too far because that might get unrealistic, or the effort you're going to have to put in might be too extreme. Do you think there's going to be are you starting to get a feel for a healthy sort of set point where you think you'll just sort of balance out and it'll be incredibly manageable as you move forward?
I'm having trouble seeing that, to be honest with you, because I've never actually been healthy before. I don't know what a healthy weight for my body is.
Right.
If you look at the BMI, they want me down around 170. Well, that's got to be way too bit little.
Yeah.
Just based on how I'm looking now, I don't think that's even reasonable. But I'm hoping that right around the 215 to 220 mark is where I'll be normalized, especially if I keep weightlifting.
Yeah, and the BMI is very, very deceptive for everybody out there. You have to be careful when you're using BMI. I mean, there's so many factors involved when it comes to height, weight, and age, and it's unrealistic. I mean, look, I'm fairly healthy for my age, and according to my BMI, I am in the highest risk category for health that's on the charts. And it has a lot to do because I'm stocky and a little bit shorter and based on my age. So the BMI is a real tough guide, Trevor. So that's pretty enlightening as well. And I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the doctor, of course, when you first go to them and they're all happy that you're losing weight, the first thing they look at is the BMI chart. But it it's just too unrealistic. So my thing is how I'm looking and feeling. And right now I'm feeling amazing. I'm looking much better. And when my shirt's off, for example, I still see the problem areas, but I'm not obsessing about it.
Right.
You know, it's not, I know I look better, and that was my goal, is to start looking better. I may not look perfect, but...
Oh, man, hey, you look studly right now. Yeah. The girls are talking about you, trust me. Oh. Hey, listen, let's talk about that. How does that make you feel, man? Like, what is that like, you know, that you've changed your appearance so much? I mean, there's got to be a good feeling. Body image is so important right now, but it's not the end-all be-all, but you got to be feeling pretty good. That's got to put a little pep in your step.
Oh, it does. Every time someone comments, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've been asked before, is it insulting to ask someone who's lost a lot of weight to comment that they're looking better? And I say absolutely not. Like, you comment all you want, because it just motivates me to keep going.
Yeah, and that's why we're having you on the show. We're talking with Trevor Stewart. He's our good friend and co-worker here at TSN 1260. He's the manager of broadcast engineering. Trev, listen, a little fun stuff right now. Let's talk about your wardrobe. What's that been like? I mean, have we had to take out a second mortgage on the house to replace your wardrobe 3 or 4 times?
It feels like it, yes. Yeah. And it has been about 3 or 4 times.
No kidding.
No, the wife started going to Value Village to get me some t-shirts just so that we could have enough to
that's
keep it
awesome.
Going. Because the bigger stuff... It wasn't just that it was too big now. It was starting to look ridiculous.
Right.
And it still does. I put one on the other day just because I had to grab something quick, and the shirt was just, it was silly how big it was.
Yeah, that could be a nice reminder, too, of where you're at and how far you've come as well, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you about those three beautiful kids. How much of a role did they play in your decision here?
They're probably the primary one.
Yeah.
I've got one that's in competitive gymnastics, one that's in competitive cheerleading, and of course the 4-year-old who's too young for that stuff yet, but I'm sure he'll be into something. And they just go. They're constantly on the go. And I'm sitting there watching them thinking, geez, it'd be nice if I could keep up, not with the competitive stuff, but just keep up with them. And, at the time, I couldn't. Whereas now, I mean, I still can't. I'm not doing backflips and handstands, but I can go down and I can watch them and I can feel like I'm participating with them.
Yeah, Trev. Well, listen, so great. Great message. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been inspirational for me to see you. You know, I'm pretty passionate about this stuff. That's why we do the War on Sugar. But you're truly an inspiration. Hey, some final words. A message to people out there who are maybe where you were at when you made the decision. Trev, you did it. You've gone through it. You've made it look easy. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been there. I get to see you once in a while in and out of the office. But it's been tremendous to watch. Maybe a message from you, somebody who's gone through the battle and you're there now. To everybody else who might be contemplating trying to tackle what you've done.
Well, as corny as it sounds, don't wait. You know, the sooner you start, the sooner you're done. Putting it off until next month, you'll start on the first. That's not going to help you. You know, get it done.
Yeah. Hey, Trev, I'm going to mark in my calendar to contact you in August, 1 year out, and we'll discuss where you're at and how it's been, and we'll revisit again. Listen, really, really appreciate your time today. I totally appreciate you sharing all of your insights and everything you've gone through, and such an inspirational story. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Just a fantastic conversation, and I think the big takeaway there is it is so possible, it's not even funny. Hey, we got to cut out for a quick break, but when we come back, some incredibly scary statistics coming out of Canada north of the border in a population of 37 million. If these numbers reflect what's going on in other parts of the world, we all had better be pretty scared. The numbers are alarming, and they're coming up right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome back. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, and we are your weekly source for performance information. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Well, today, War on Sugar, a great conversation with our beloved engineer here at the station, Trevor Stewart, who has lost 95 pounds to date, and he's looking to lose a few more. I guess the message behind that conversation is it's doable. He took a really reasonable approach, no major drastic crazy changes, but he looked at a time frame and he lost the weight week by week. He just attacked it and made it happen. So good for him. It is a great, great story. Not such a great story. If the obesity rates, the health issues related to obesity and sugar consumption are fairly equal across the globe, which they are, the trends are very similar. Information coming in from north of the border in Canada is incredibly alarming. There was a study commissioned by the Canadian Cancer Society, the Canadian Diabetes Association, the Childhood Obesity Foundation, the Chronic Disease and Prevention Alliance of Canada, and the Heart and Stroke Foundation. They pooled their resources and asked the University of Waterloo to look at the impact sugar is having on the Canadian health and population. The interesting thing about this was, though, however, they were looking at sugary drink consumption. And here are some of the numbers. Hold on to your hats. It's estimated that sugary drink consumption in Canada will be responsible for, here's the data, more than 1 million cases of overweight and more than 3 million cases of obesity, almost 1 million cases of type 2 diabetes, almost 300,000 Canadians with heart disease, more than 100,000 cases of cancer, almost 40,000 strokes, and almost 2.2 million disability-adjusted life years. Those are years lost due to the health effects of sugar in your diet. When they projected this out to 25 years, the research from the University of Waterloo revealed that sugary drink consumption will result in over 63,000 deaths and will cost the healthcare system more than $50 billion. Those numbers are alarming. Here's the thing. Here's the message that we need to send to everybody we know and love. It's preventable. 100% preventable. Now listen, the data also showed that soda consumption, pop consumption was down 27%. Straight juice consumption was down 10%. But listen to this. Energy drink consumption, based on the study data, was up 638%. Sweetened coffees, up 579%. Flavored water, up 527%. Drinkable yogurt, up 283%. Sweetened teas, up 36%. Sport drinks, up 4%. Flavored milk, up 21%. Look, there's a lot of numbers there. You can go follow us on Twitter. All the numbers will be there. We're going to post it on our website. But listen, the theme is alarming. Over the next 25 years, sugary drink consumption is going to be responsible for 63,000 deaths in Canada. Listen, for everybody who's not familiar with Canada, our friends north of the border, there's 37 million people up there. If the trends are consistent around the globe, imagine what the numbers look like in larger population bases. We have got to do something, hence the war on sugar. Have to thank Trevor Stewart for coming on today to share his story, because if that's not an inspiration for everybody, I don't know what is. It's so doable. And one of his mainstays was cut sugar out. He didn't eliminate it. He just significantly cut it back. We need to do it for our friends and families. Listen, we wanted to get to the Combine. We're a performance show. We're going to talk about it coming up. But, you know, there were some great performances at the Combine. Connor, do we have time for this?
We have 45 seconds.
45 seconds. Okay, well, let's just, your impressions of the Combine so far. We had a new record in the 40, which is fantastic. This is human performance at its finest.
Yeah, guys are flying. They know what they have to do. They've got all this, you know, 3 months to prep for it, went in between school finals and everything. So should be happening. I think that should be expected by now.
I like the combine. I don't know if it means a lot in terms of predicting future performance, but we're going to talk about it on May 8th or March 18th. And we're also going to look at the baseball season. Coming up next week, we're going to look at the psychology of injuries. So thanks for listening. And we got a couple big shows coming up in the next few weeks. We'll talk to you then.